Hello, and welcome to our program Reader's Digest, brought to you by Owl Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center in San Antonio. I'm John Fisher, and during the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from Reader's Digest here on Owl Radio. First, 10, 9, 8. The Times Square ball drop is just one way we ring in the new year. Here are some more. From Prescott, Arizona, outside the Palace Saloon, which has served cowboys since 1877, revelers give each outgoing year the boot, a six-foot-tall cowboy boot, that is. In Sarasota, Florida, the crowd that gathers to watch a symbol of Southern hospitality descend on the aptly named Pineapple Square is 25,000 people deep. Roughly half the city's population. It's a giant pineapple. In Plymouth, Wisconsin, a giant wedge is hoisted high above the quote-unquote cheese capital of the world, where 10 to 15% of all cheese consumed in the United States is made. In Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, New Year's Eve stretches into a two-day festival here where the marshmallow candy called Peeps are made. Fans can watch this 400-pound replica drop on December 30th or 31st, or both. Next in Reader's Digest, a pair of everyday heroes. First, from Andy Simmons, a mystery turns an unassuming couple into Santa Claus. Here's a Christmas story in Reader's Digest. Jim Glaub and Dylan Parker had just been handed the keys to their new Manhattan apartment on 22nd Street when the outgoing tenant said something curious. "Just so you know, there's this thing where letters addressed to Santa come to the apartment." The previous tenants received the mail too. It had been coming for years, and no one knows why. Quote unquote, "but it's not that big a deal." Glaub and Parker settled into their new home, and for the first 2 years, only a few letters trickled in from kids or parents asking, quote-unquote, Santa for gifts they could not otherwise afford. Toys, coats, a doll. Then in the months leading to Christmas 2010, they were deluged. Every day, they'd open their mailbox to find it brimming over with letters to Santa. They responded to as many as they could, writing notes, even buying gifts, but they could only do so much. Glaub, of course, is not Santa. He runs a Broadway marketing company. But one night when he and Parker threw a 1960s-themed Christmas party, a solution appeared. Guests, dressed in mod outfits and hippie beads, noticed the hundreds of letters they'd yet to act upon tucked in the corner of their dining room and asked about them. "I told them the story," Glaub says. His guests were intrigued. A lot of people were like, "I'll take a letter. I'll fulfill it." That's when Glaub and Parker realized they didn't have to fulfill all these letters themselves. People want to help. And so was born Miracle on 22nd Street, a community-based volunteer organization that responds to children's letters to Santa with season's greetings and gifts. To spread the word, they started a website, miracleon22ndstreet.com, and a Facebook page. I'll give that web address again just a little bit later. Working with other nonprofits that help those in need, they invited families from around the country to go online and request gifts for their children. Likewise, donors, a.k.a. quote-unquote elves, can sign up to buy gifts for a child or family, accompanied by a signed note with quote-unquote elf before their name, such as Elf Jim or Elf Jody. Both families and elves are vetted either by the nonprofits or by Miracle on 22nd Street. Letters typically request popular items, such as Paw Patrol or Cocomelon for little kids, makeup and bikes for older ones. One child, living in a crowded household, wrote that he suffered back pain from sleeping on the living room couch. With the okay from the boy's parents, the child's elf bought him a bed. Some letters are heartbreaking. One child wrote, "Dear Santa, for Christmas, I want my brothers to get better. My younger brother has a hard time walking and has to use a wheelchair. I wish he could play like me. I also wish my baby brother could eat like me and not have his feeding tube. I know these are not real presents, but this is all I want this year." That's a tough ask for any elf, but Miracle on 22nd Street did send the children gift cards and a kind note. Last year, Glob and Miracle on 22nd Street helped more than 800 families. One beneficiary wrote on Facebook, "Huge shout out to my kid's elf. You helped give this newly single mama of four the best present. You gave my babies a reason to smile and enjoy their Christmas after everything we've been through. All I wanted was to see them happy, and I got just what I wanted." Glob no longer dwells on why the letters come to the apartment. Putting in the long hours to help the families is what it's all about for him. "It's part of Christmas for me," he says. "It's the same for the elves and families. They look forward to it. Not to do it would be very sad for a lot of people. It wouldn't be Christmas without it." And that web address, should you want to participate next year, is miracleon22ndstreet.com. All one word, no spaces. Again, miracleon22ndstreet.com. And the second story of Everyday Heroes, also from Andy Simmons of Reader's Digest. Here's Midnight Plunge. "There is no way they just drove into that water," thought Corian Evans. The 16-year-old was hanging out with friends in a parking area underneath a Moss Point, Mississippi highway in July when a sedan with three teenage girls inside propelled off a boat ramp and into the Pascagoula River. It came to rest some 20 feet from land, then sank. The driver, Evans would learn, had blindly followed erroneous directions from her GPS. It was around 2:30 a.m. by the time Evans and brothers Karen and Caleb Bradley got to the river's edge. In the darkness, they could barely make out the girls clinging to the roof, the only part of the car still barely above water, but they could hear screaming. Evans ripped off his shirt and shoes, tossed his phone down, then dived into the water, a river he knew alligators called home. He helped the first girl he saw and, keeping her head above water, led her ashore. Just then, a man called out. Police officer Gary Mercer had arrived. He dived into the river to help another of the girls. But halfway back to shore, she panicked and went underwater, pulling Mercer down with her. Evans jumped back into the water and helped them until they could stand. "If he hadn't been there, who knows?" Mercer told the Washington Post. There was still one girl in the water. Cora Watson, 19 years old, could not swim. She was gulping water, struggling to stay afloat, and scared. "I heard Cora screaming help, and I thought she was done," Caleb told WLOX in Biloxi. "I just knew my last breath was coming," Watson said. "My mind said, 'You're slowly losing yourself.'" She began to go under. Then a jolt. Corian had grabbed me. The three girls and Officer Mercer were taken to the hospital and released. They're alive because Corian Evans risked his life to save them. "They're alive," says his mother, Marquita Evans, "because Corian Evans broke his curfew." "But she's not mad," she told the Post. "He had a good reason." Next, here's We Found a Fix, Help, Hacks, and How-To's from Reader's Digest, and there are five of them here. Number one, champagne, like its bubbles, is fleeting and effervescent. It doesn't take long until an opened bottle falls flat. If you happen to have leftover bubbly on New Year's Eve, slide the handle of a spoon into the top of the bottle before putting it in the fridge. The metal spoon won't exactly replace the cork, but it'll keep air in the neck cold and act as an obstacle for the escaping carbon dioxide, and that's what makes champagne frothy, for a night. It'll be as fizzy in morning mimosas as it was for your midnight toast. Number two, from Lifehacker.com. Should your power cut out and take the entirety of your fully stocked fridge and freezer with it, don't eat it, literally or figuratively. Homeowners insurance policies often cover the cost of spoiled food if the outage is caused by, quote-unquote, perils, such as lightning, wind, fallen objects, water damage, or snow. Keep or photograph your receipts after bulk shopping trips and during seasons with inclement weather. Some policies will cover up to $500. Number 3, from Red Pelican Music. If you're among the 16% of Americans who carol, Red Pelican, a music school in Los Angeles, has a few notes for you to hit. Stay away from O Holy Night and What Child Is This? They go high toward the end, and it might be tough for your group or audience to keep up. Jingle Bells, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and Silent Night can be sung with just melody, so they're good group choices. Instead of going door-to-door, try singing near small businesses. If you do go door-to-door, do no more than 3 songs per stop. Number 4, from RD.com. Grabbing another passenger's seat on the way to the airplane restroom isn't ideal, but how else can you stay upright? Reach for the hidden handrail under the overhead bins. That scalloped lip provides a grip. When you see flight attendants seemingly skim the closed bins as they walk, they're holding the handrail. What's better than frequent flyers are courteous ones. And finally, number 5, from FamilyHandyman.com. Got a tension rod that's just a little too zen? Use drywall screws to secure 2 water bottle caps into the studs in your closet walls. Then mount the rod between the caps. The lip provides just enough support to prevent it from slipping down all the time. The tension belongs in the rod, not your jaw. And finally, for this edition of Reader's Digest, health. These breakthroughs are real reasons for real hope. Leah Granger writes, "Winning Against Cancer" in Reader's Digest. A cancer diagnosis no longer means what it used to. Just a few decades ago, the survival rate beyond 5 years was less than 50%. Now, nearly 70% of those who get cancer survive that long, and that proportion is set to rise. Why? Because more than ever, chemotherapy and radiation, once the only heavy hitters of cancer treatment, are being paired with or replaced by a slate of new drugs and treatments. For example, the first medication for what was previously considered an quote-unquote undruggable lung cancer mutation was recently approved in the United States, Canada, Europe, and the UK. And a brand new precision chemotherapy drug delivered directly to breast cancer tumor cells is giving hope to patients with the aggressive HER2 positive form of the disease. An even bigger newsmaker has been the promise of a treatment called immunotherapy, as researchers around the world have discovered ways to harness the body's own immune system to battle cancer cells. Also driving hope is a focus on prevention. Decades of research and public education have led to greater awareness of how lifestyle changes can reduce our risk of developing cancer. According to an article from the journal Pharmaceutical Research and published by the National Institutes of Health, 90 to 95% of cancers can be attributed to environment and lifestyle rather than to genetic factors. Here are some of the strides scientists are making against cancer. And there are 3 big sections here: prevention, screening, and treatments. First, to prevention, HPV vaccine. Cervical cancer was once one of the most common women's cancers and the leading cause of cancer deaths among women. In recent decades, Pap test screening led to a decline. But a preventive tool in use for more than a decade, a vaccine against the human papillomavirus, HPV, which is responsible for more than 95% of cervical cancer cases, has been a game changer. Here's how. Since 2006, when the vaccine was introduced in North America, HPV infections have dropped more than 80% among teen girls and young women in the United States. A study published in The Lancet at the end of 2021 found that in England, where the immunization program was introduced in the year 2008, cervical cancer has been almost completely eliminated in women born since 1995. That's those who were vaccinated at ages 12 and 13. An 11-year Swedish study of 1.7 million women published in the New England Journal of Medicine in the year 2020 indicated that women vaccinated before age 17 were 90% less likely to get cervical cancer. And in March 2022, Australia announced that it was on track to become the first country to eliminate the cancer. The World Health Organization's goal is for 90% of girls to be vaccinated globally by the year 2030, eventually eliminating cervical cancer entirely. Now also under prevention, mRNA cancer vaccines. The speedy development of COVID-19 vaccines was thanks to foundations already laid by researchers who had been working for years to create mRNA vaccines to fight cancer. These vaccines use a specially programmed molecule to activate an immune response in the body's cells. Unlike the COVID-19 vaccines designed to help protect billions of people, each cancer mRNA vaccine is tailor-made to treat a single patient's cancerous tumors. Dozens of clinical trials testing their effectiveness against a range of cancers, including pancreatic, are underway. In theory, this personalized approach can be made for everyone and for every cancer, says Patrick Ott, director of the Center for Personal Cancer Vaccines at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston. And now to the section called Screening, Gallery Blood Test. Catching cancer early can be challenging. Current screening methods in wide use, for example, the mammogram since the 1970s and the colonoscopy since the 1990s, look for one type of cancer. And blood tests look for markers like blood cell count, as well as proteins and chemicals made by cancer cells. But these tests are not highly specific. They are often used only after cancer has been detected by another method. Now, a test known as Galleri, that's G-A-L-L-E-R-I, made by California-based global biotechnology company Grail, promises to detect more than 50 types of cancers with one blood draw. Galleri detects tumor-generated genetic material that has entered the bloodstream. It reveals the presence of cancer and where it originated. In a study published in the Annals of Oncology in June 2021, researchers found that the test detected cancers more than 50% of the time and predicted a cancer's origin with 89% accuracy. The test holds particular promise for cancers such as pancreatic and ovarian, which are so deadly because symptoms are elusive and there are no screening methods. This past June, the UK's National Health Service announced a massive trial of 140,000 participants to assess Galleri's effectiveness. And finally, in the section called Treatments, Enhertu. Though breast cancer mortality rates have been falling for 3 decades, it's still the most common cancer in the U.S., excluding non-melanoma skin cancers. It's still the most common cancer in Europe as well. One of the deadliest types is that in which the tumors overproduce a protein called HER2. Affecting about 1 in 5 breast cancer patients, this type usually grows and spreads faster than other breast cancers, and is more likely to return after treatment. But in the year 2019 in the U.S. and 2021 in Canada, Europe, and the U.K., trastuzumab deruxtecan, or Enhertu, was approved. The precision chemotherapy drug dramatically slows progress of this aggressive cancer. This is very important, says Rebecca Roylance, a medical oncologist at University College London Hospitals. Dr. Roylance specializes in breast cancer and was involved in administering the UK trials of Enhertu. A drug that is so well tolerated is so important to improve a patient's quality of life despite the impact of their cancer and treatment, she says. It works by transporting a chemotherapy drug directly to HER2 tumor cells to destroy them. Enhertu delivers more than double the chemo payload of existing treatments and also destroys nearby cancerous cells. An international trial published in the New England Journal of Medicine in July 2022 showed that patients taking Enhertu went a median of 10 months without tumor growth compared to about 5 months with the current standard treatment. And Lumakras. Lung cancer is the leading cancer killer in Canada and the United States, accounting for almost a quarter of cancer deaths here. It's the leading cancer killer in Europe, too, causing 20% of cancer deaths there. Until very recently, there were no drugs to treat lung cancers caused by a dangerous mutation in the KRAS G12C gene. The mutation, which causes the cancerous cells to duplicate wildly, affects about 13% of patients. Currently, the only treatment has been additional chemotherapy that might give these patients a few more months at most to live. A new KRAS-inhibiting drug that has been recently approved for use could transform that prognosis. Results of a Phase 1 trial published in June 2021 in the New England Journal of Medicine are promising. Patients previously treated with both chemotherapy and immunotherapy took a daily sotorasib pill, that's a brand name of Lumakras. Around 40% of patients experienced tumor shrinkage of 30% or more. And according to a recent update, 1 in 3 was still alive 2 years after starting treatment. And finally under treatments, immunotherapy. Immunotherapy alters cells in the body's immune system, allowing them to recognize and fight cancer cells. The field is barely a decade old, yet it dominates cancer research. Nearly 5,000 immunotherapy cancer trials are being conducted worldwide. There has been a revolution in the treatment of several cancer types in recent years thanks to immunotherapy, says Marco Donia, a medical oncologist at Denmark's National Center for Cancer Immune Therapy. The field is so groundbreaking that in the year 2018, immunologists James P. Allison of the United States and Tatsuya Honjo of Japan were awarded the Nobel Prize in Medicine for their discovery of the principle behind immune checkpoint inhibitors, or ICIs, the most common type of immunotherapy cancer treatment used today. The treatment, administered intravenously, is used against many cancers, but is particularly successful against lung, skin, and some colon cancers. The effects of ICIs can last long after treatment ends. A survey in the year 2021 of progress made in the treatment of melanoma, published in the journal Cancers, reports that ICI combination therapy results in long-term survival for more than 50% of metastatic melanoma patients. This is the first time we're seeing patients with solid cancers with a 6-month median survival rate essentially being cured, says Dr. Donia. And this sidebar here, solid cancers are those with tumor masses as opposed to liquid cancers such as those that occur in blood. Another type of immunotherapy, called chimeric antigen receptor, or CAR, T-cell therapy, or adoptive cell transfer, also shows great promise. The personalized immunotherapy, first used in the year 2017, involves extracting some disease-fighting white T-cells from a patient's blood, genetically engineering them to recognize and target a specific cancer protein, and then reintroducing them into the patient's bloodstream. Then they circulate, attacking and destroying cancer cells. The therapy has been shown to add years of life to people with blood cancers. The treatment has been approved for specific types of adult lymphoma and child and youth leukemia in the U.S., Canada, and Europe. But because it is so individually tailored, CAR T-cell therapy is used relatively rarely, and it's expensive. Researchers are investigating development of universal CAR T-cell therapy. In Canada, a national trial of CAR T-cell therapy is underway. Results so far have been promising. For 13 of the 30 people enrolled, cancer cells can no longer be detected in their blood, according to Natasha Kecker, a scientist and hematologist at the Ottawa Hospital and the trial's principal investigator. "This will allow us to cure so many people," she says. These sidebars. First of all, it was the year 2017 when Suzanne Anderson Barkles, then 36 years old, noticed lumps in her breast and armpit. Doctors diagnosed her with the aggressive HER2-positive breast cancer. After enduring chemotherapy, surgery, and radiation, her cancer went into remission. But by the year 2021, it had metastasized to her spine and brain. She underwent more treatment, but the tumors continued to grow. Then her oncologist told her about a new drug that targets HER2-positive breast cancers. Enhertu had just been approved in Europe. After three doses, the largest tumor in Barkles' brain had shrunk by more than 50%. She continues taking Enhertu, hoping to shrink it further. "I have faith in this medicine," says Barkles, "and I have hope that other new cancer treatments are on the way." And another sidebar. In the year 2010, Owen Snyder, then 63 years old, was diagnosed with lymphoma. Chemotherapy sent the disease into remission. When it returned in the year 2016, Snyder had a stem cell transplant. But when his lymphoma returned again in the year 2020, doctors told him he had a few months to live. Then he got a call. There was a spot in a CAR T-cell immunotherapy trial. "It was a ray of hope," says the retiree, who lives near Ottawa in Ontario. Doctors extracted T-cells and sent them to a lab where they were genetically modified and allowed to multiply. Meanwhile, Snyder received 3 days of a milder chemo treatment, and then doctors injected him with the modified cells. "They went to work like Pac-Man, chomping up all the cancer cells," says Snyder. 30 days later, there was no trace of lymphoma. Now, 2 years on, he is still cancer-free. And one more sidebar. Susan Falbo had gone 20 years without taking a sick day, so it came as a shock in the year 2017 when doctors told the 59-year-old Shadyside, Ohio resident that she had mesothelioma cancer in the membrane covering her right lung. Surgery, 30 rounds of radiation, and 4 rounds of chemotherapy stabilized her for a year, and then tumors began to grow again. She recalls one oncologist telling her, "You know you're not going to survive this, right?" Then she discovered she was a prime candidate for a trial using immune checkpoint inhibitor therapy, that's ICI therapy, along with the drugs nivolumab and ipilimumab. She began in October 2019, and within 3 months, all 4 of her tumors had shrunk. Today, 3 are virtually gone, and the 4th has shrunk by 3/4. "I'll hit my 5-year mark in September," says Falbo. Hallelujah! You have been listening to Reader's Digest on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program is replayed after 9 o'clock in the evening. This is John Fisher saying goodbye from Owl Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center in San Antonio.